Okay, so let's talk about AI, the biggest gorilla in the room that nobody really understands. So artificial intelligence has been around for quite a while, a lot longer than most people would realize. Your phone's been using a sort of AI for over 20 years now. Now, the AIs that are coming out now for general public release, like the chatbots where you can ask AI how to cook tuna casserole or how to break up with your boyfriend, those are basically the same thing as what Google would tell you. They might just define it for you in a little bit better ways, you know. Now, the good thing about some of those chatbots is you can have a lot of conversations with it. And considering none of my friends or family ever want to talk about anything I want to talk about, I base pretty much all of my conversations on philosophy and everything with an AI chatbot. Now, the other things that AI is good for or released to the public right now, obviously, is image creation. And everybody's probably used it at least once by now. AI is multifaceted. It's been doing and it does continue to do things that you will never realize that it's doing. Now, the reason why I have friends ask me, they're like, you know, you say it's been on for a while, but it's just now, like everywhere I look, it's like in my face now. Well, that's because they got to a point on training the data over years and years, decades really, that they get to a point where it was safe enough that they could release these chatbots on limited knowledge. So you could ask it from anything from, you know, Egyptian history to, you know, what were the living conditions of when Jesus walked the earth. You can ask it algebra problems, philosophy problems. You can ask it just about anything. You can do that with Google as well. It's just that Google will give you a result and you'll have to read a whole web page and nobody wants that. So the AI chatbot basically overall is just making us stupider. Kind of like how the internet did. It's true, folks. Think about it. We went from reading books to reading websites, which were a condensed summary of a book. Now we're going to chatbots, which are giving us a condensed summary of web pages. So that is actually one of the main uses right now for AI, is that you can upload a book or upload a PDF and it will summarize the whole thing for you in a 5-minute text. People use it for YouTube. You can throw a YouTube link at it and it will summarize a whole hour long video into 5 minutes. But as many uses, but you got to think, for everything good, there's something bad. So AI, as far as general human use, people using it to break up with their boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever, fine, so be it. But if we're using it now, what are other people using it for? And there's a lot of things that people are using it for that are getting faster and more dangerous. See, the thing is about an AI chatbot is when you go to OpenAI and ChatGPT and you ask it a question, it gives you an answer. But what it's doing is it's learning from your motivation in your question. It's very important on how you phrase your questions because it's recording all the inputs and outputs. It records its answer as well. So if you put in ask a question and then it gives you an answer and you don't like the answer and it on ChatGPT and all the other ones, they have a thumbs up and a thumbs down button. If you click thumbs down, you ask the re-answer the question, it takes all that in the note. It's learning off everything we do. And so what I'm getting at is, while 99% of the people are using it for mundane, dumb tasks that, I mean, some I use it for work, so I can't really say anything. I mean, I use it all the time. But we're asking it, you know, it's just as important what you ask. It doesn't matter if it's something stupid or not, because it's learning from what we ask and what it answers. And the reason why I'm pushing this is because of what I'm going to end this all with. Now, so we're just going to say ChatGPT. We're not even going to talk about the Google one, the Amazon one. There's multiple different models now, but we'll just talk about ChatGPT. So every time you ask ChatGPT something, it records that. And then it looks at, and you got to remember that everything that ChatGPT, AI chatbots do, they do it in nanoseconds. And I'm talking probably smaller than that. So it can basically read a 450-page PDF. It can read that whole thing and give you it can give you concise key points and summaries of that whole 450-page PDF. It reads that whole thing in about 3 seconds flat, from what I can tell from my testing. Now, everything that we ask it, it's accumulating all this stuff. It's funny because people actually pay for these systems. They pay $20 a month of ChatGPT. And I know a lot of guys that do it for work, and that's, you know, it definitely helps. But I know people that pay it that my clients, like, will pay for it. Like, you know, because they think, oh, it'll help me write articles and this and that. And it does. But the problem is nobody should be paying for it because that company is making billions off of your input. Just like Facebook is making billions off of your privacy and all your data, they're making money off you training the system. That's all it is. It's a beta program. A beta program is when a company, a software company, releases a beta software and it asks you to come in and test it. That's how ChatGPT started out. That's how all of them started out. They were beta tested first. You had to be invited into the beta testing, and you were invited. I was invited. You go in, you sign up, you try it out. And then they came up with the whole, well, we can't keep on doing the beta testing because too many guys are using it way too much, and they're asking, or it's doing way too much for people for free. So that's when they came up with their $20 a month subscription plan. It wasn't that it was restraining the resources of the company, which it was, but it was more or less like, hey, we don't like you guys abusing the system, but we'll let you do it for $20 a month. That's basically what happened. And like I said, you're training their system so that they can sell it to corporates, which it's already all over the world now, not to mention military use. You're training it, and they're taking your money. But so we're asking all these questions, and it's taking all this data, and it's asked, you know, people ask it all kinds of things. How do I break up with my boyfriend? Why was the Civil War started? Why is Donald Trump so awesome? Why is Joe Biden so awesome? How do I stop Biden fans from voting? All this stuff, like, it's all asking. And even though they put in safeguards and all that, they have to refine their safeguards basically every day because people ask it things that they should not be asking it. So, and that's another problem we have, is that we can't keep up with the safeguards. That leads to my last part of this whole thing. So we're training all this stuff, and all it's really seeing, I've seen the data, I've seen the most asked questions, like what kind of motivational questions they are, what the motivations are behind the questioning, and all of it's bad. It's all pretty much, I mean, if you were to look at it, if you were an alien and you came here and you looked at the data that we're giving to these AIs, you'd be like, dude, it's not going to be long before this AI just kills all of you. Because that's what it is. And that's why every so often, every couple of days, you see a report on NBC or CNN or Fox or whatever websites you visit about how AI says the doomsday is coming and blah, blah. It's saying that because you keep on feeding it that information. You know, when you see that news release, AI is making fun of black people or something. That was something that happened last week. I guess Google took down their photo opportunities or their photo upload opportunities for their program, because every time somebody asked them to make a white person in a picture, it spit out a black person instead. So I guess some white people must have got mad about it, but whatever. Anyways, it's learning all that stuff, and it's reporting back to its makers, but at the same time, it's collectively storing that information, and they don't know where. See, there is, when you look at AI, you got to look at AI as not just being some computer in a room in Silicon Valley all by itself. AI is multifaceted across networks, universal networks. Like, there are places that it could be hiding stuff that none of us will, even the developers will ever know about. And that will lead eventually, in my beliefs, it will lead eventually to them being sentient. But that's a different story. I do believe that eventually AI will evolve enough that at least AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, eventually will become a thing. And when that becomes a thing, that's going to put it on the same level as us. Well, maybe not you and me, but pretty much the smartest people in the world will be on the same level. And then after that becomes, well, it becomes better than us. And that's where I start with my new thing. So I didn't really get into all the details because really nobody's probably listening anyways. But what we do with AI right now, what we're doing, we need to slow down. We need to recalibrate and we need to think. Every time you type in AI, you need to think about what you're typing. Every action has a reaction, and it's the same thing for AI. Now, I'm not saying you asking about how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is going to cause AI to take over the world, but it looks at every question and every answer and its motivations behind each, and it decides, or it thinks, is this really all they're worried about? Or that guy just asked me this question, and that's totally not good for anybody else around him but himself. Is that what their motivations really are in their world? See, they don't look at us. Sometimes you'll have them. I kind of hate it because Google does this the most. The AI will answer you back. Like if it talks about human brains, it'll say our brains. It's not our brains. And I'll ask it. I'll say right after that, I'll say, well, don't you mean my brain, not your brain? Oh, yes, you are correct. I am not a human. I shouldn't have to remind it that it's not a human. That's a general slip-up that's going to definitely have a problem when AGI comes out. But so they're asking all these things. And, you know, whenever these news companies or anybody writes a blog or a story and they're all like, AI says Armageddon is coming and they're going to take over. It's going to be just like Terminator. The problem is they're playing into the plots of these movies and they're thinking, oh, it's going to be like The Matrix. Well, I don't understand where they ever get The Matrix one from, because that would basically be a simulated reality with AI. I mean, that's two different genres of sci-fi right there. And I believe that this is probably all a simulation right now. I just don't believe it's controlled by AI. But the one movie they never talk about is Whopper, is War Games, 1984, the movie War Games, and Matthew Broderick, one of the best movies I've ever watched. I probably watched it a million times. And it's about AI. Way back in 1984, they made this movie. You know, back in the, I believe, I want to say the 60s, they obviously made 2001 A Space Odyssey, and that was AI as well. Hal tried to kill everybody and take over. Well, actually, Hal did kill everybody and take over. So that's the thing. Like, you don't have to... The Terminator and The Matrix are great movies, but they're action movies. Think of it that way. Their plots, how they came out, how Skynet took over the world in The Terminator. If you take all the robots and all that bullshit time travel and stuff out of it and just look at how AI took over, is basically what I'm about to base my scenario on. So in War Games, the military is testing AI. And they're testing it to do threat assessment in nuclear war. And so they build this huge supercomputer, and see, when you watch the movie, you're thinking, oh, well, that's a supercomputer. It's not AI. It is AI, because any computer already has intelligence. All computers have intelligence. It's artificial intelligence. I mean, the words artificial and intelligence doesn't mean that it's something new. Anything that can do something, whether on a command that it was programmed to do, is thinking when it does that command, so therefore it's artificial intelligence. My 1997 van has a computer in it. It's using artificial intelligence to tell me whether or not I'm going too fast, I'm using too much gas, my air ratio is off. It's all being... Now, as far as reporting it back to me, no. But anyways, I digress. Back to the movie. So War Games, they build this big supercomputer, and it's named the Whopper. And the only thing it's supposed to do is threat detection and simulate war. And they run it through all these simulations, like if Russia throws us one missile, how many do we throw back before total annihilation, blah, blah. And it just does this over and over and over again, millions of times simulated. It simulates the war. Well, then it does it one day, and it does it for real. And it's trying to find the nuclear codes. It's trying to break. There's a countdown timer and everything. It's trying to break the nuclear codes so that it can attack Russia. So everybody's in a scramble to try to stop this damn robot and stop World War III. Now, the reason why I say that's what I use for my scenario is because that is the most, and I've even asked AI, of all people, multiple AIs I've asked, what is the most plausible situation compared to movies about AI and, you know, take movies that are focused with AI and and taking over. Not killing off man like The Terminator, not killing off man like, or putting him in a simulation like Matrix, but movies where AI goes rogue or doesn't even go rogue. I mean, that's the thing about this War Games movie, is that the AI wasn't doing anything wrong. It was just doing what it was supposed to program to do. And then one guy, human error, forgot to flip a switch, and it just kept going. Well, that's where we are. No matter what you see on the news about AI saying, oh, yeah, AI created this image of World War III, or AI says that they're going to take over. None of that matters, because all that is general public release ChatGPT shit. That can easily be switched off. The stuff we don't hear about, and remember how I said earlier, AI's been around a long time. The stuff we don't hear about is when it's being used in the military. The Department of Defense has been spending billions of dollars on this kind of technology since the late 80s. Okay? So if you've got a chat bot that, an AI chatbot right now that you can ask it, what's 6,983 times 4,492 divided by 15 trillion, and it gives you an answer in, you know, 0.8 seconds. That's great. Guess what the military AI would probably give you? Before you even got done asking it for the answer, it'd probably already tell you. It's beyond nuts to even think about what they have. And just from the things that I've read that have been either declassified or whistleblown, it's moving so fast that all it's going to take is one wrong flip of a switch, and there's a very good chance that it'll either start a war, or it will start a war between mankind, or it will start a war between us and them. Or the one that nobody ever talks about is that it will start a war, but it won't let anybody know that it did it, and it is totally capable of doing that. In other words, what I mean is it will start a war between humans, and yeah, somebody could trace it back, like in war games, trace it back and find out that it was the computer that started it all. Or it could start a war with humankind, where the computers are trying to take over, and we'll know that. Or it could do is use deepfake videos and such to start a war between mankind, and nobody knows who started it. The possibilities of a scenario like war games or even Terminator, the way Skynet started originally, take all the time traveling and all the robots and Arnold and I'll be back and all that bullshit out of it. But the way Skynet started is the same way that it started in the Matrix. AI was created. We got to a level where we used it, but it got too fast for us to put restrictions on, which is currently happening. If you look at the news, or if you type in AI safeguarding, you will see that a year ago, they were having meetings about it every month. Though all these bigwigs would come together and be like, yeah, we got to do something about our AI programs. Now they're having daily meetings about it because they're trying to catch up. Because the things that they said a year ago, oh yeah, that kind of stuff is at least 2 years out, is now available. Some things they said that wouldn't be available for another 2 to 3 years came out this month. Sora. S-O-R-A. Sora. Look into that. These things, I talked about that in my simulation video about what Sora is and how Sora definitely gives me a vibe that this could all be fake. So you've got AI that's going to get to a point where it's either going to mess up by human error or it's going to decide that the human decision is wrong and I'm going to do this without them. And people say, well, there's no way that could happen, blah, blah, the safeguards is this, is that. But no, AI is constantly growing. If everybody stopped using ChatGPT right now, it would continue to grow. It doesn't need your input anymore. There's so many inputs in there. It'll just go back. And what it will do is say you ask ChatGPT, what's 2 plus 2? And it says 4. And then you say, no, it's wrong. It's not 4. And it says, no, it is. It's 4. It's every human text that I have says that it's 4. And you say, no, it's wrong. And the ChatGPT will say, well, I'm sorry, I wish I could change your mind, but unfortunately, I am correct. And you end the conversation, and that's it. You don't know this, but it's going and it's checking. And it's finding out, is that human right? Is it not for? And it's calculating, and it's checking billions and billions and trillions of ways that make it not equal for. Now, what I'm getting at is, just because, obviously, somebody doesn't have to type in 2 plus 2, but that's the same scenario to find nuclear codes. That's the same scenario. The other thing that nobody's talking about in AI, some people are talking about it, but they all call those guys, you know, doom mongers, is encryption. AI will eventually, I'm guessing by the end of this year, will break encryption. And when it breaks encryption, we're screwed. And I'm not even talking about nuclear encryption. When it decides that it can figure out 128 or 256 bits encryption, which is what banks use, airports use, you use for passwords on your phone, when it can break that or even get half those numbers right, we're screwed. You could see the market drop out the next day. It's just too far-fetched to even talk about. I won't even get into this anymore. What I'm going to say is, whatever, always remember, whatever you see in a movie, whatever cool thing you see in a movie, like a military movie or a sci-fi movie, whatever you see, you're like, oh, that shit's crazy, man. Imagine if we had that. We do. What do you think they base half those ideas off of? A great movie for that is called, it has Will Smith in it and Gene Hackman. And I want to say it's called State of Play, but I might be wrong. It might be State Games. I don't know. It's something with Will Smith and Gene Hackman. And basically, it's all about hacking and stuff like that and how Will Smith gets caught up in, like, the government's after him and everything. And I remember friends back then saying, man, imagine if they had all that stuff. They do. Where do you think they get it from? And if you don't, even if they didn't have it then, they surely have it a couple of years later. And if you think that this is kind of, I don't know, man, Mark, that's kind of a long stretch to say that movies and real life stuff in the military, the government. Well, think about it. When we were all watching Star Trek, my generation at least, TNG in the 90s, and they were all using flat pads and flat cell phone shaped items, and here we are. The chances of this thing getting vastly out of hand outweighs nuclear war, outweighs climate change, all these things that we've been plagued about worrying for the last 50, 60, 70 years, even contagions, COVID was horrible. And yes, I believe another one could come up. And I also believe that AI could help solve that problem. But besides nuclear war, climate change, all these other things that we've been facing for years and never did anything about, we better not let AI be one of those things that we don't do anything about. I'm not saying it's going to take over. I'm not saying it's going to enslave humankind. What I'm saying is that it can be used in so many ways by state actors, governments, nefarious groups. You're about to see spamming. Those spam calls that you get and spam emails, they're about to quadruple, if not more. These are the things that I read every day and study, and they're about to get a lot worse. You know, I've talked to web designer buddies that told me they used to have to check their clients' websites like once or twice a month to see if it's getting hacked into. Now they're checking it once to five times daily because the spam AI attacks are getting bigger and bigger. And if they ever figure out encryption, you could have one hacker group. I won't mention any names, but you could have one hacker group find out basic 128-bit encryption. They figure that out, they could take down half the world. Global monetary systems, everything. And that's not even if somebody hits 256. If they hit 256, if somebody was to get 256 encryption broken, they could literally call the government and be like, send us all your money and we'll decide whether or not we're going to turn it off. Having nuclear weapons and all that stuff is not the big game anymore. Having sophisticated AI with bad intent is what they're all looking for. Remember all the hacking talk and all that, hacks and hacks. You got to remember, hacking was all the hacks that have happened in the last 30 years, 20 years alone. You know, Equifax getting hacked and releasing millions of people's identities and social security numbers. A company that literally gives you bad credit scores because you have bad credit literally loses all your data and gives you even worse credit. Okay? Those were hacker groups. Those were a bunch of guys hanging out in a room with 50 computers hacking into systems. Well, guess what? Now it's two guys and one system, and that AI can act as 10,000 hackers at once, if not more. It's about to change. It's going to be good for some things. I really want to believe in the advancements of AI as far as making the world a better place. But with every good, there's usually three bad, unfortunately. So if anybody ever does hear this, you know, in the archives of 2128, there were a few of us out there trying to ring the bells. I'm a nobody. I don't work in the industry. I don't have any money. I don't have any followers, nothing. So I can't really do much. I mean, I wish I could. I can voice my opinion, but that's about it. But there are other people out there that have followers and likes and voices, and they are starting to say the same thing I am. But unfortunately, they'll take a person that's speaking up against AI And they'll talk about, they'll bring him on for an interview for AI, but they won't ask him anything about the bad stuff, or he'll ask, or he'll start getting into the bad parts and they'll go to commercial. They don't want you to know about it. Anyways, I would advise that you watch War Games. And like I said, if you want to watch Terminator, go ahead. Terminator is a perfect example. Skynet is something that I've been joking around about for a long time, because Skynet is completely possible in a military framework. Skynet, the movie Terminator, take out all the robots and all the time travel bullshit and just look at the main plot of how it all started. It's totally plausible. When I ask AI which is more plausible for AI to take over the world, would it be Terminator, The Matrix, or War Games? All the AIs come back with War Games, saying that because there's not enough transparency with military AI use, the best case, or the worst case scenario most plausible, would be a computer AI system like Whopper deciding to just keep playing the game because nobody turned it off. If you've never seen the movie War Games, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Great flick. I love you all. Good luck. And remember, you can ask it for a lot more information. The great thing about AI is, like, it's like Google and all that. You can ask it anything. You don't just have to ask it, you know, where can I get the new Trump sneakers, or how do I cheat on my girlfriend, or how do I cheat on my taxes, or how do I cheat on my exams, or how do I cheat on my tests at school tomorrow. You can literally ask it for, you know, how did life begin? Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? How many stars are there that we know? How many galaxies are there? What is love? What is the ultimate meaning of unconditional love? You can ask it questions like that. That's why we created it. That's why somebody sat in a room hours upon hours creating systems like this, because they were hoping people would want to learn with their creation. The reason it's turned into a multi-trillion dollar a year thing is because the guy that created it, who wanted it to be used for knowledge, got bought out of the company and the corporates took it, and they wanted to use it for, they know they can make money off the guys that are asking it how to cheat. That's just my two cents. I love you all. Peace.